And you can remain seated. We're going to make a confession over the word as well so we can make sure that we are receiving everything that God has for me. If you got your Bibles, your app, your phone, whatever you have, hold that up. Remain seated. Somebody say, in my hand. Say, I hold the book of life. Say, according to this book, my life is destined for greatness. Say, with the seed of God's word, I will produce abundant fruit. And with confidence, I confess that God has a purpose and a plan for my life in Jesus' name. Oh, God got a plan and a purpose for your life. Woo, yes, he does. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Those of you that are tuning in or listening to this sermon online, we want to say thank you for taking the time to tune in. We certainly appreciate you, your prayers, and your support of this ministry. But we also want to extend an invitation for you to come on out one Sunday and be a part of the fellowship here. Amen, church? We would love to have you and your family to come on out and enjoy the fellowship of the Lord with us. If you have your Bibles, I want you to go with me to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Get the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We are in a series entitled Increasing as God Causes You to Increase. I'll repeat it. Increasing as God Causes You to Increase. That is our series title. Last week was an introduction, so we're going to do a quick recap and get into some new information today. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, it tells us we should give thanks to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. That's just a part of the verse. The Bible said we should give thanks to who?
God.
Only a few people woke this morning. We should give thanks to who?
God.
We should give thanks to God because he is the one who causes us to increase. That is to say that God is intentional. He is intentional when it comes to your life. That he wants you to increase. Now, why is that tough for some people to receive? Why do people struggle with the fact that God's word says he is intentional when it comes to your life and that he wants us to increase? The reason why I ask that question is because it is easy to see by observing a person's life that they truly don't believe that. Because if you believe what the scripture says, it should be demonstrated in some way in your life. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Somebody repeat after me. Say, God wants me, to increase in every area of my life. You see, everything God does will always be for a cause and for a purpose. There is no plan, blessing, or promise that God provides that is not for your good or without a purpose. Did you hear what I just said? There is absolutely no plan, there is absolutely no promise, and there is absolutely no blessing that God provides you that is not for your good and for a purpose. Romans chapter 8, 28, you can note it down. It simply says, we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So everything, whether good or bad, and I know sometimes we have moments in our lives that are challenging and very difficult. Things happen in which we cannot fully explain or understand. But the scripture says, above all of what may be transpiring or happening into our life, good or bad, the Bible says all things work out for the good of them that love God. How many of you love God? Lift your hand. You love God?
Amen.
Well, then guess what? It's going to work out. That's scripture. It's going to work out.
Amen.
So we need to comprehend and fully appreciate that God is causing things to happen in our lives for our good. Things we cannot explain. Things we just fully do not understand. We have to trust there is a cause and a purpose behind it. In some way, somehow, God is involved. It is God's desire that we be given, as the scripture says, the power to prosper. In Deuteronomy 8:18, for it is He that gives us power. It is God who gives us power to get wealth that He may establish His covenant. Cause and purpose. He gives it for a cause and for a purpose. The beginning process of receiving increase would mean that we must first, as we dealt with this last week, we must first disengage from forbidden things that stop our increase. If you can recall, if you were here last week or you listened to the message last week, one of the things we addressed was that we have to disengage. We have to disengage from forbidden things that stops our increase. I like the way Paul put it. Paul said simply, just because something is permissible in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, that doesn't make it beneficial. He says, to you, to me, to us. In other words, he basically said in what we read, and we're going to read it in Colossians chapter 2, if you can go there. Everybody get Colossians chapter 2. He basically said, don't touch, don't taste, and don't handle those things that are not good, that are forbidden. Let's go there. Colossians. I know we read this last time, but let's go there. We have to recap and make sure that we can fully understand what God is saying to us as we go forth and wanting to increase as God causes us to increase. In Colossians chapter 2, I'm going to start reading at verse 18. It says, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and do what? In worship of angels. Intruding into those things which have not seen, vainly puffed up by the flesh of the mind. Basically, what he's saying is do not engage yourself in things and carry this false spiritual humility that you want to get spiritually deep and you want to start searching out all this mystical stuff, and it will have a negative effect on you. And I've seen people, unfortunately, Christians, unfortunately, dabble into this mystical New Age stuff only to find that their lives have been negatively affected and in some ways oppressed, if not possessed, by the wrong spirit. So he says, let no man beguile you of your reward that God has for you. Look at verse 19. He says, and not holding to the head, meaning Christ, for which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. That's what we're talking about today. 20, he says, wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you yet subject to these ordinances? Why are you still involved in these things? And here's where he gives the closing. He says in 21, he says, touch not, taste not, and handle not forbidden things that can stop your increase. There are certain things, he said, do not even attempt to touch it. Don't touch another man's wife. Don't touch certain people. He says, don't even taste it. Don't put certain things in your system. Touch not, taste not, and don't even handle. Don't engage or involve yourself in things that God forbids you to involve yourself with because it will set you up to fail. Touch not, taste not, he says, handle not. Adam and Eve, he told them specifically, he says, don't touch the tree. Achan, he says, don't touch the spoils of Jericho. Balaam, he says, handle not the servants of Balak. King Saul, handle not
fortune tellers, sorcerers, and trying to know the future. He says, handle not, Israel, he says to his people, he says, handle not false gods. These are forbidden things. God said, don't touch them, don't taste them, don't handle them. Because these things will hinder your increase. So if we want the kind of increase that comes without any interruption, we must commit to not touch, not taste, and not handle forbidden things. That's all I'm saying. New topic today. Here's what I want to share with the time we have remaining. You can note it down. And that is increasing with the increase of God. Increasing with the increase of God. The obvious question would be, how do we do that? How do we increase with the increase of God? I want to pose another question to you if we're going to appreciate this topic. And that is, how do we best describe God's increase? How do we best describe God's increase? In the Bible, there are many ascribed attributes of God that give descriptions of God. And one of them is where he is called Elohim, and that means my creator. Others are Jehovah, my Lord, Adonai, my master, Jehovah Jireh, we love that one, my provider, Jehovah Rophi, my healer, Jehovah Nisi, my banner, Jehovah Mikadesh, my sanctifier, Jehovah Tasekanu is my righteousness, and then you have Jehovah Shalom. You hear Jewish people say Shalom, Jehovah Shalom, my peace, and then there's Jehovah Rohi, which simply means the Lord is my shepherd. But I've found that there is one name that can fully encompass all of who God is and his ability to supply all needs as well as fulfill all purposes. And that description is El Shaddai. El Shaddai simply means all sufficient. Have you heard it before? All sufficient God. The name El Shaddai was first mentioned in Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, when the Lord appeared unto Abram when he was 99 years old, and he said to him, I am El Shaddai. And he says, walk before me and be perfect. So that was the first time of God introducing himself as the all-sufficient God to Abraham, meaning you're 99 years old, you're going to have a kid, and understand that I'm El Shaddai, I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to make it happen. There was another time where it was mentioned also in Genesis chapter 35, verse 11, when God said to Jacob, I am El Shaddai. He says, be fruitful and multiply, a nation and a company of nations shall be of you, and kings shall come out of you, your loins. This description of God was meant to have them understand that God would be their cause of increase. Are you listening to me? What God was implying to Abram, and what God was implying to Jacob, is that you can rely on me as the cause of your increase. Are you listening to me today? Is he speaking to you today? He is your El Shaddai. He is more than enough. God can do for you and for you and for you and you and you and me all at the same time and still have some left over. He is El Shaddai. That encompasses everything you will ever need and want from God. Can I get an amen? I think one of the strongest and clearest expressions of God's unreliant of man could be seen, if you all go with me, to Psalms 50. Everybody get Psalms 50. It could be seen in Psalms 50 where God, he brags of his self-sufficiency and his sovereignty as owner and giver of all things. Oh, man, you're going to love this. Let's take a look at it in Psalms chapter 50. You see, we have to understand
and appreciate
who we serve. We're talking about increasing with God's increase. How do I describe his increase? Because I want to increase with his increase. If you can get Psalms chapter 50, I want to look at verse 7. Verse 7. Here's what it says. It says, "Hear, O my people, and I will speak." In other words, God says, "Shut up, I'm about to speak now." He said, "Listen, it's my turn to talk. O Israel, and I will testify against thee." He goes on to say, "I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me." He goes on to say, "I will take no bullocks out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy folds, for every beast." Now listen to this. He's talking to him. Maybe they was bragging a little bit about who they were and how God needed them. But he's talking to him now. Verse 10, he says, "For every beast of the forest is mine." Let's stop for a second. God said, "You've given some sacrifices. I appreciate it. But don't get the attitude that you've given it because I need it." Anybody listening? I know you're not that person, but I've heard of people who at times thought, "Well, I'm going to hold back what I have from the church," thinking that it was going to affect God, as if it was going to have a problem with God. The attitude that God needs what I have, or God needs me. God said, "Wait a minute. I appreciate the sacrifice that you're offering." He said, "But all of that really belongs to me." Anybody listening to me? That air that you breathe, that belongs to God. You didn't wake yourself up this morning. It wasn't an alarm clock or the kids running around the house. It was God who breathed in you. Come on. He's the air you breathe. Hallelujah. He's the food you eat. He's the water that you drink. So thank you for your giving, God said, but I don't need it because I'm all sufficient. You got to increase with me. I don't got to increase with you. Can I get amen? He says in verse 10, "For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills." He says, "I know the birds," and may I inject in there, "I know the names of every bird." Yeah, I got a name for that bird. Hey, that bird is called Michael. Yeah, I got a name for that bird. That bird is called Sue. I got names for him. He said, "I know every bird of the mountains and the wildebeest of the field." And he said, "They belong to me. They are mine." Verse 11, "If I was hungry, I would not even tell you. For the world is mine and the fullness thereof." 13, "Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay the vows unto the Most High?" He says, "And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me." God said, "You need me. I'm the El Shaddai. You increase with me. I don't increase with you." Can I get an amen? We're talking about increasing with God's increase. There is a place he wants to take you. There's an increase he wants to bring into your life. But we have to get in line with that. And so, how do we increase with the increase of God? There are three quick things I want to give you, real quick, that must be settled in our spirit before we can experience this type of increase. Number one is that we must be fully persuaded that God wants to increase us. We got to be fully persuaded that God wants to increase us. I'm not saying that we just say amen to something and it sounds nice to shout it out and speak it out. No, you got to be fully persuaded that God wants to increase you. That even if you are not at a place that you want to be, amen, God's still going to take you where you need to be. You got to be fully persuaded that regardless of my circumstance and regardless of where I am right now in life, I'm not going to always be here. God's going to take me to another place. Somebody say, "I'm going up." Somebody say, "It's going to get better." Remember now, all things work for the good of those who love God. Do you love God? You got to be fully persuaded that he wants to. He is not satisfied with where you are. He's not satisfied with your health. He's not satisfied with what's going on in your mind and in your body. He's not satisfied with your finances and your situation. You must be fully persuaded. I am here today, Pastor, because I'm persuaded. Second thing, you got to settle this in your spirit, and that is we must believe that God will increase us. Not that he can, but that he will. I sure hope that before you die, you will be able to say, I am satisfied. God will. He will increase me. How many of you believe that? Oh, he will. This is my life. This is my life journey. I will do nothing else. I know nothing else. I plan on doing nothing else. My life is centered all around God. He will increase me. The third one is that we must live like we deserve to have increase. Ooh, now that's a tough one right there. You got to live like you deserve it. And I'm sad to say this because there are so many Christians. They live in like paupers, man. They live in like they don't believe what they say or that they even deserve it. How can you be in connection to a God who says everything belongs to him and you don't deserve none of that? You got to live like you deserve it. Let me break it down by reading something in Luke chapter 16. You can go there with me if you like. And Luke chapter 16, I'm trying to move along here because of time. But we got to see this, and you need to see it for yourself. In Luke chapter 16, I want to start reading at verse 10, just a few verses. Out of the mouth of Jesus, listen to what Jesus says. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust true riches? 12. And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, Jesus said, who shall give you that which is your own? What is he implying here? How you live determines God's response to your life. How we live determines God's response to our life. Are you living like you deserve it? I mean, because God, he's the provider here now, right? He's the one that's going to bless you, and he's going to provide for you. But how are you living? Here's the standard right here, Jesus said. If you're faithful, if you're unfaithful with little, and you're living that way, then it doesn't matter how much more you get, you're going to be the same. Change how you live. Get an attitude in which you deserve it by demonstrating it in the way in which you live, and watch what God will do in your life. And so the increase or the experience of this increase will only come if we settle these three things. Number one, again, is be fully persuaded that God wants to increase us. Number two, believe that God will increase us. And number three, live like you deserve to have that increase in your life. I want to end this, and I'm not going to be able to get through all of them, but I want to end this by just sharing how do we increase with the increase of God. Let me give you just one because of time. And you, if you would, go with me to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 15. We're going to close out here. Deuteronomy chapter 15. Let's go there. So how do we increase with the increase of God? I think this is so profound and so clear. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 5. And here's one of the ways in which we can increase with the increase of God. Number one is to simply follow his instructions. That's it. Simply follow his instructions. Would you believe me, and you can do your own research, if I told you that every person that God gave an increase to, listen up, he first gave them an instruction. This is not complicated. Every person that God gave an increase to or promised a blessing to, he first gave them an instruction. Where we fall short is not because God has denied us something or he is withholding something from us. We fall short of following instructions. You don't need to say amen, but I can tell you, many of you that are out there sitting in these chairs, and those of you may be listening online, your problem came because you failed to follow instructions. Simple as that. So to get this increase or to receive this increase, the first thing is that we simply follow his instruction. Here's what Deuteronomy tells us in chapter 15, verse 5. It says, only if you carefully listen unto the voice of the Lord your God to observe to do all of these commandments which I command you this day. God is emphasizing the importance of listen to me. Listen to me. I'm telling you, listen to me. Hear me. I've already gave you commandments. Now just follow them. Don't need to do anything else. You don't need to add anything else to that. You don't need to bring anybody else into the mix. In fact, you don't even have to call pastor up. You don't have to call first lady up. Just do what I said do, what I'm telling you to do. Follow instructions. Just that simple. And you will begin to see the increase of God happening into your life in ways that you could not even imagine. Say, God wants me to increase as he increases. Close your books. Close your Bibles. We're going to pray. I sure hope you listen to the voice of God today. God is intentional. Everything he does is for a cause and a purpose. Some of you are here today because God planned on bringing you here today. You could have chose to sleep in or go somewhere else or maybe go to the grocery store, maybe in the park. It's a nice day. But because of God, cause and purpose. And he brought you here to remind you that he's interested in your life. And just like you, he is not satisfied with where you are. I just started a new YouTube channel that I use for my job. They asked me to put videos together. And the title of that new YouTube TV is called Blessed Up. And the wording is that I can only go up in God. And what I say in the beginning and what I say in the closing of that video is that the next time somebody asks you if you're blessed, you tell them I'm blessed up because I can only go up in God. With God in your life, your life is meant to increase. Remember now, there's no plan, there's no blessing, and there's no promise that God has purposed in your life that is not for your good. All things work out for the good of those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. Would you stand to your feet, please? Maybe this is a little bit redundant to repeat the same thing over and over again, but I don't think we can ever get enough hearing that God wants to bless us. He truly wants to bless your life. Are you tired of going around in circles? Are you tired of just going backwards and
starting all over again, and whatever progress you make, if anything, is just like taking two steps forward and one step backwards. When God wants you to take a leap, He wants you to jump. He wants you to gain some significant ground in your life so that you can look back and you might be able to say, I'm not where I want to be, but at least I'm not where I used to be. Are you listening today? That is because of increase. No other reason. Where is your commitment? Are you fully persuaded? Not just in words, not just saying amen or commenting, but are you fully persuaded that He wants to increase your life? And if you're going to say amen, I'm going to challenge you today by saying act like it, live like it. You deserve it. Somebody say, I deserve it.
I deserve.
You deserve it. Now let's see it. Let's see your actions. Let's see your actions. I'm thinking about children, little kids. You tell them one thing, man, and make a promise to them, whether it be their birthday or something, man, they start acting like they got it before they got it. It puts you in a guilt state if you don't get it. You got to get it now. You got to work extra time and overtime to get it, even though you can't afford it. But now they're acting like they got it. Your God owns the cattle and the cattle on 1,000 hills. He is your El Shaddai. He's the all-sufficient God. He has everything you will ever need. Act like it. Father, we are grateful and thankful once again to be privileged to be in your presence, to hear your spirit speak to our hearts. You are the God of abundance. You are the God who is more than enough. Whatever we have, whatever we need, or whatever we desire, you have it. Teach us, Lord, to not rely upon the sources of this world, but to put our confidence and our trust in you. Because whatever we don't see in this world, you can create it. That's the kind of God you are. Father, I sense today that there is somebody here that is in need of emotional healing. Their heart needs to be healed. There may even be someone today, they have pain in their body and they need your touch. I pray in Jesus' name. Let the word be released to minister to your physical health right now, to do what doctors could not do, to do what no physical therapy could do. In the name of Jesus, we declare as the people of God, be healed. May your heart be healed. May your mind be healed. I pray for those of you that are struggling and your joy, for whatever reason, has gone down. I say in Jesus' name, now that you are in the presence of the Lord, it is written that in His presence is the fullness of joy. I pray that the joy of God come back to your spirit. Whatever else needs that are present today, God, I pray you will meet that need today. El Shaddai. That's what we call you. Bless this time. Bless your people. And he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. In Jesus' name. If we all agree, can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.